What's up, guys? Justin for the 330 Sports Show. Joining me is Boardman High School Soccer Boys Head Coach Eric Simeone, but also Boston Celtic aficionado. And we also have men's basketball coach, assistant coach from the Purple Raiders up at Mount Union. We got Dave Spire. So we are going to talk about the upcoming matchup. We're going to focus mainly on the Boston Celtics, but we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming matchup in the finals with the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. So, Sim, you're the big Celtics fan here. I'm going to let you lead off. What are your thoughts on the upcoming series?
It's exciting to be back in the finals, but it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a hard one. Golden State, you know, if they didn't have those couple years with injuries, they could be running off six in a row right now. They're just that good. Defense is going to have to play spectacular. They're just hard to defend. Golden State can shoot the ball from almost anywhere on the court, and it's not a bad shot. That's going to be really hard to do. It's going to be a very, very big challenge, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Dave, how about you?
I mean, like we stated earlier, I think that the Golden State Warriors are the heavy betting favorite. I mean, they got the pedigree. They've been there before. They know what it takes to get it done. They got some of the best shooters of all time, and they got some depth. And Boston Celtics, they're young, but I think they're ready. I think if they can stay healthy and they can guard, they can be there. And they've proven in the last series that they can win on the road. Mm-hmm. And they can win a game seven on the road. So that's not going to be an issue. But hopefully, you know, I think for them, the key is to get some confidence early and potentially win game one. Because, you know, traditionally the first half of the team that's well-rested, that first half for that home team is going to be sluggish. They're going to be, you know, a little out of sync. If they can jump out to a lead in the first game and be holding it, still one, could make for an interesting series.
Yeah, yeah. Golden State has, you know, they've been, obviously, since what Kerr took over in 2014. I think looking at it, Boston is the only team with a winning record since Kerr has taken over that head coaching job. Since Golden State has moved to that new arena, it's not quite the advantageous home arena that Oracle used to be. That place used to be like a bandbox in there, just echo chamber. Apparently, it just doesn't have that same feel. So we'll see how that all goes. But yeah, Golden State right now is, you know, the slight favorite, minus 160. Golden State, or Boston, excuse me, plus 130. So if you're a big Boston fan, you think they can win, you know, throw down $100 to win 130. It's worth the investment. But they've definitely gotten over that bubble, you know, from the COVID year, and then getting past the LeBron, you know, Cavs teams. They're there now. You know, they've got there, and like Dave said, they're a young team, but they've been proven. You know, they've been challenged, and they're finally there. So we'll see how that all plays out. But we're going to focus this show on the all-time best and greatest Celtics. So we're going to go through kind of a starting five here, and then we're going to go through seven bench players. Now, I was talking to these guys earlier. Boston is probably, I mean, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but they are probably, if not the greatest franchise in basketball. I don't know if the Lakers can even challenge them, but Sim, what do you think about that?
The Lakers are usually pretty close with those numbers. I think I was looking just earlier today. They just did the 75-year team, and there were 20 Celtics on that list of 76. I mean, a couple of them, I mean, they played for Boston, but it wasn't really their career move. And L.A. was second with 15. So it's usually pretty close that way. Both have the same number of titles right now with 17. You know, it's usually, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, 75 years, Boston and L.A. have half the championships.
Yeah.
pretty close to it. I mean, they're like two or three away from being 50%. So those are the two teams that have kind of, you know, dominated a lot of those things. I'm sure the Hall of Fame list is the same. But yeah, Boston, I mean, because they weren't just really good in one particular era, they had their 60s teams, they had their 70s teams, they had the 80s teams, they've had a couple of good teams here and there since. There's just a long, long list of players to pick from. This was not easy, even as a big fan. This was not an easy list to come up with. I found myself leaving people off.
it should be interesting because we're going to keep it at 12.
Right.
You know, we'll be able to name honorable mentions. But Dave, give us the stipulations that you wanted for this as well.
I think if you talk about history, number one, I think you stated it was they had to win a ring. When you talk about a historical franchise that has 17 championships, you can be one of the greatest players ever. If you didn't have a banner put up, you probably shouldn't make the list. Mm-hmm. And the second one, I mean, if you going through the list, there's a bunch of guys on there that I didn't realize played for the Celtics at one time or another. It might have been 1 year, but the stipulation was they had to be with the Celtics for 5 years. I mean, you look at somebody like Shaquille O'Neal, who obviously would make the list. He was in Boston for a year, and it wasn't one of his glory years. So
no doubt,
5 years, they had to win one championship.
Okay. All right. I think that's fair. And I think we've all, you know, done a little bit of research here. And I think, you know, to start this out, this is probably going to be really, really easy. So, you know, Sim, I'm just going to let you lead off. Like, if you had to pick, you know, I see the guy over your left shoulder there, you know, but if you had to pick one Celtic of all time, any era, which Celtic are you going with?
That's tough to start that way. I thought you were going to go down by position, but I got to start at center with Bill Russell. I have to go with Bill Russell. I mean, what he did was, I mean, I know people like to criticize it because it was from a different era and a different time and a different style, but I mean, I don't know that anybody has dominated any one sport for an entire decade the way Bill Russell did. I mean, that was just, certainly he had a lot of great guys around him, but I mean, without Russell, I don't know that they do what they did. I mean, he's the center point of everything. And I think, you know, as far as picking a center in your starting five, it would almost be blasphemous to not start with Bill Russell.
No doubt. No doubt. Dave, you agree?
100%. I mean, my man got 11 rings.
Yeah.
Starting in Bill Russell. I mean, and to think about what people don't tend to realize is the team that they went through to get there, and that was the LA Lakers that, you know, had Jerry West, had Wilt Chamberlain, had Elgin Baylor. I mean, those are three top 75 players and three of the greatest, obviously, of all time. For them to just run rampant through there, I mean, he made Jerry West, Jerry West was depressed because he could not beat the Boston Celtics. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, and it started in it with Bill Russell. I mean, there's a reason why you have a trophy named after the guy.
No doubt. Right. No doubt. Yeah, and sort of, you know, the big man isn't used as much in today's game, but, I mean, just the way that guy played. I'm looking at some of it. Well, first of all, he won a title in his second year. He came in the league in 56, and then he won – his final title in his final year, which was, I believe, 1968. So as Sim said, 13 years in the league. listen to just, these are just his averages over his career. 15.1 points a game, 22.5 rebounds per game, and then four and a half assists, basically. So over a 13-year career, you average 22.5 rebounds, not to mention the 11 titles, which is untouched.
The only 2 years that he didn't win, in 58, he rolled his ankle in like the third game of the finals, and that was just enough to hobble him. And I want to say it was the Hawks that ended up beating the Celtics that year.
Okay.
And then they kind of ran out of steam a little bit. They lost the 1 year 60, 67. was the year that that they didn't win the other time. And I think that was that might have been, I think Red Auerbach stepped away from coaching in 66, and Russell was actually player coach for 3 years. And they did win it twice with him in 68 and 69. But his first year, I think they just ran into too much with, I want to say 67 was the Sixers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and just a player coach alone, that's unheard of, you know?
Right.
Just, right. So, I mean, that, you know, that automatically puts him on this list.
A lot of people forget that or never even knew it.
I had no idea.
Yeah. He was the player coach.
Wow. Wow.
And not to also mention all the stuff that he went through from a racial aspect of it, and what he went through up in Boston. I mean, he was loved slash hated at the same time in his own city. And you're talking about a guy that was the pinnacle of, you know, a franchise that wasn't known to play by players in the 60s. And right. For him to be able to overcome what he did and to see it off the court and on the court was tremendous.
Yeah, his book "Go Up for Glory" is just a great read. Just really very involved in the civil rights movement. He was mm-hmm. in the March of Washington and all of that. He was very very involved in that.
And arguably, you know, whatever the debate is with, you know, people have their feelings on LeBron, people have their feelings on Jordan, but you could put Bill Russell right up there as the greatest player in NBA history. If not, he's top three. So, you know, I'd put him right up there. You know, I think just a lot of people is seeing is believing. And if you didn't see him play live, it's hard to, you know, compare him with players today. But Bill Russell, arguably the best player in NBA history, and obviously going to go down here and as the starting center for the all-time Celtics. So, Sim, let's go ahead to your next guy. You can pick any other position, point guard, shooting guard, small forward.
Yeah, let's go with your point guard. I got to go back to the very beginning as well. I feel like it's got to be Bob Cousy.
Okay.
You know, there's been some other good ones, but I mean, that guy, even watching film today, he's still very impressive with what he did with the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He was something else.
Yeah, and another guy that he overlapped with Bill Russell there for a bit, 13-year career, and averaged, I mean, numbers today that would make him a definite all-star, 18.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists in his 13 years. Now, that's over the course of his entire career. So, right. Won the MVP in 1957 and a six-time NBA champion. So a solid pick there. Dave, agree?
100% agree. Just a solid all-around point guard and the floor general on one of the all-time great teams. I mean, him and Bill Russell were a dynamic duo along with John Havlicek. I mean, you talk about a big three in the era before big threes. That was it.
Right. No doubt. Well, I think you just
absolutely
let us know. You know, I think you just put us right into the next guy. So let's go John Havlicek here, right, with our shooting guard. Would you guys agree with that? Did I freeze up here?
There we go.
All right. Sorry about that. I just little technical difficulty on my end, but we're back. So I think where we left off, and we'll all edit that out there, but we were transitioning now into the shooting guard position with John Havlicek. So, you know, that would be my pick personally. Obviously an Ohio State Buckeye, a little homer pick, but a great shooting guard, small forward kind of combo for the Celtics. Sim, why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's on my list. I had him listed as the small forward, but I mean, he kind of played everywhere, really. I mean, when I looked up his position, they had him listed as small forward, but I don't know that back then they had the same names for positions and the same terminology that we use today. So, because I mean, nobody really knows what to classify Bird. I've seen him listed as multiple different
right
types of forward too. But yeah, I mean, Havlicek's got to be on your list. He's the all-time leading scorer for the Celtics, which I think surprises people. They don't realize that. And I mean, he was there for some of the 60s championships, and then he carried them to a couple in the 70s as well, when he was with a couple of the other newer 70s stars for the team. But yeah, I mean, Havlicek, I think, has to be in your starting five.
Yeah, and I read something somewhere where he only missed like a couple games in his entire career, played through like a separated shoulder in the playoffs, you know, like just an intense player, you know, right. With that has some legendary moments, and 16-year career in the NBA. So pretty impressive. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, 6'5", shooting guard, slash small forward. I mean, average 20 points for a career. I mean, that's tough to do. I mean, he was just solid all around.
Okay. So the goal here is we want to come up with our unanimous starting five. So we're
I think we're there. I think the next one is a no-brainer.
Which all right, would be, so go ahead.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, I mean, okay.
Over Brian Scalabrine?
I thought you might be going Antoine Walker there.
No. Chucky A doesn't make the cut.
But it has to be Bird. Has to be.
I mean, I was a Magic Johnson fan growing up, and you know, Larry Legend was the person you just loved to hate. Either, you know, when you grew up in the '80s, either you were Boston or you were LA, and everybody else was just in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I found a newfound respect for Larry Bird, probably in the last 2 months, just on TikTok alone, listening to all the former players talk about what a trash talker Larry Bird was. I mean, you always heard the stories of Larry Bird saying he's going to tell you exactly where he's going to go, exactly what he's going to do, and then do it. But then when you hear like Gary Payton, Dominique Wilkins, all these guys that went up against them, just say how much he talked trash and just backed it up. It was unreal. I think the funniest story that I recently heard was he was playing against Sean Kemp when Sean Kemp was a rookie, and Sean Kemp broke all of his high school records. And he goes to Sean Kemp, "Hey, you're that kid from Indiana that broke all my records, huh?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, you're in for a long night today, Holmes." And he went and dropped 45 points, got 15 rebounds on him. I mean, between that and the guy played Atlanta Hawks and shot every shot left-handed, because he said he was saving his right arm for the LA Lakers in the next couple of days. I mean, who the heck does that? It still dropped like 18 to 20 on somebody. I mean, nicknames aren't given or earned. That's how you get the nickname Larry Legend. I mean, unreal.
Oh, there's stories that could go on for days about it. I mean, there's just so many classic ones.
But do you have, Sim, do you have like a favorite moment being a Celtics fan of Larry Bird that sticks out to you?
Oh, it's got to be when he stole the ball in game five against Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, Detroit was – all they had to do was throw the ball in bounds, game's over, and Detroit goes up 3-2. And I think steals home court off of Boston. And I mean, he just comes out of nowhere, steals the ball. I mean, there was only like three seconds left on the clock or something like that. He steals the ball, finds DJ, cut into the hoop, makes the pass, DJ lays it in, Boston wins by one. I mean, that's as legendary as Havlicek stealing the ball in 65.
Yeah, and I've never seen that game, but I've seen that replay 100 times. You know, and that classic call by the Boston announcer.
Yeah, Johnny Most.
Yeah, so good.
I mean, I remember watching it live thinking, it's over, this is it. They're just, it's over. And then just he pulls out this miracle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some of my Larry Bird knowledge has come from watching The Last Dance and watching this new Laker documentary. And I mean, he's painted as kind of an ass in this documentary, but it's good entertainment. And apparently he didn't talk to Magic Johnson for 5, 6, 7 years. Their first years in the NBA.
He did not like Magic when they first over the college game. He did not like losing to Michigan State in that championship game.
Interesting. Okay.
It's just a different era. Guys weren't friends.
Yeah.
Right. I
mean, you weren't friends with your rivals. Nope. You didn't go hang out with your rivals. You didn't go on vacation. You got a banana boat with your rivals.
Right.
Love it. Love it. All right. So we got Bob Cousy. We got Havlicek. We got Bird, and we got Russell. Who else are we putting in the starting five here?
Boy, that one, that's the tough one, I think, finding another guard. I mean, I feel like there's a couple of different people you could pick from. I personally, if I had to pick a starting guard after what we already have there, I would either be going with Danny Ainge or JoJo White. I think those are the two that that I just personally always liked. I mean, JoJo White was just a spectacular player in the 70s. He kind of gets forgotten about. I don't know what took so long to put him in the Hall of Fame. They did a list one year of the 10 players that were not in the Hall of Fame and should be. JoJo White was number one. 10 years later, they did the list again. All the other nine guys got in. JoJo White still wasn't. I don't know. I don't know what the problem there was, but I mean, I'd probably lean JoJo White over Danny Ainge, but I'd be probably flipping a coin between those two.
I will say I had I ranked my guys 1 to 20, and I did not have Danny Ainge in my top 20, so I did have JoJo White right towards the bottom of that list. But so I'm good with him. If Dave, what about you? What do you
think? Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you. Ainge was on the, I ranked, I think, 16 guys, and Ainge was in my aftermention. And if we're going straight guards, I would go JoJo White as well. Would be my next guard on the list.
Okay. I have another guard I would like to put in there, but I think that encapsulates his entire NBA career, not just with the Celtics. But we'll talk about him, I'm sure, when we get to the bench players and honorable mentions. So.
I think I know where you're going.
So let's go to the bench then. And real quick, by the way, because I didn't say this on a recording, but I texted it out. I had to look. The Celtics have, and I mean, they're going to run out of numbers soon. I mean, they have 23 retired numbers.
You said 23.
Mm-hmm. And like, Red Auerbach is retired as number two because he's considered the second most important person in that franchise's history. But you just go down the list, and I mean,
Walter Brown's number one. They retired number one for the original owner too.
Okay,
yeah. Walter, so you got two numbers that are retired that aren't even for players.
Interesting. Right. And then I believe Dave Cowens, number 18, is retired, but before him, there's a name retired, Losky. Is that, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, that was his nickname. I forget what his full name was. He apparently didn't want his number retired. He wanted somebody else to be able to use it. And then they ended up retiring it anyway.
For Dave Cowan. Dave Cowan's like, God, you can retire that 18 for me, man.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go. Now, we're going to go kind of like how things are now, positionless basketball. So we don't have to have any sort of specifications for these next seven guys. It's just the next best seven Boston Celtics you think of all time. So we got Bob Cousy, JoJo White, John Havlicek, Larry Bird, and Bill Russell already in the starting five. So Sim, we'll start with you. Who's your sixth man, or who's your next best guy coming off the bench?
Oh gosh. Next guy. I'm gonna go back old again with Sam Jones. He's kind of forgotten about. He was the shooting guard back when Cousy was the point guard, and I think he came in a little later than Cousy and stayed a little longer. But I mean, he was the other guard that was part of that whole stretch there when they were winning eight in a row.
Yeah, 10-time NBA champion.
Yeah.
That's all right. And his number 24, also retired by the Boston Celtics. So right. I'm good with that. Dave, any disagreements on that one?
Nope, not at all.
Okay. Dave, let's go to you for the next one you got.
I was debating between two guys, and I got to go with the guy that I'm most familiar with, and that's Kevin McHale. /center, 6'10", 18 points a game, 7 rebounds. And when you just think about I mean, the guy really couldn't jump that well, but he was physical, more physical than what his frame would lead you to believe. But more importantly, and being a big guy, his footwork in the post was really second to none besides Hakeem Olajuwon. Yeah, in my opinion, the guys that I've seen in that era, it was Hakeem Olajuwon and then Kevin McKelvey footwork. I mean, that guy made the up and under look easy. And just his turnaround jumper and how he used the backboard. I mean, you can really teach a big man how to play by watching Kevin McKelvey. So my first big man on the bench was Kevin McKelvey.
Okay. Sim?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously on my list. I think he was the sixth man. I think he did win the sixth man award one year.
A couple times, yeah.
Because he wasn't a starter right away. No. Back when they had Cedric Maxwell and those guys, ML Carr, he came off the bench for the first couple years. But yeah, his post play, his like you said, his up and under, even his fadeaway jump shot. I mean, he was always fun to watch. He did things that I don't know how somebody that tall and lanky was able to move the way he did. It was almost awkward at times, but it worked.
And here's my interesting footnote to Kevin McHale. I think this is really interesting. First of all, like, he's a little bit before my time watching basketball, so I kind of remembered him as that random tall dude on Cheers every now and then.
Right. Yeah. He was.
But he was actually acquired. I don't know what Boston sent, but they acquired Robert Parrish and a first round draft pick, which became Kevin McHale. So talk about a win in a trade there for
from the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, where, I mean, Robert Parrish was with Golden State.
Mm-hmm. So staying relevant. So a very interesting trade and a win there for the Celtics. So absolutely. We have Sam Jones and Kevin McHale. Sim, why don't you give us your next guy?
Let me see what I got here. I've got a couple more to pick from here. I'm going to say I've got Paul Pierce.
Okay.
I think as far as any of the more modern players, I think he's the one that sticks out the most. I know he didn't win a title until they brought some other guys in with him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was the workhorse for Boston for years before they were able to get him some help with Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and you know, he was still a central piece of all of that, and he's very revered in Boston, obviously.
Yeah. I heard the strippers like him a little bit too.
Well, anybody that's using hundreds instead of ones is going to be liked.
No, but I agree. I mean, he played 15 years in Boston. He had a great career. I you know, as a Cavs fan, didn't really like him all that much, but that's, I think, a sign of respect because you realize his excellence and, you know, how good he was. So, yeah, I think he deserves to be on this list for sure. Dave?
He's on the list. I won't put him up that high. I just think he is I just think he's a LeBron hater. I've seen him out in Vegas, and he's a cornball. He did on the court. I mean, he could play, get back it up, but I just think he's definitely all time great Celtic. But I wouldn't put him in the top 10. He's probably around 11 or 12. But there's some personal hate that goes on in that. There's some Regency bias that goes along with that.
Okay, all right.
That's always allowed.
That's all right, yeah. But he is in that top 12 group, so.
Yeah, he makes the squad. He makes the squad.
Yeah, we'll wheel him out in a wheelchair, see what he can do. So.
Exactly.
All right, Sim, who's your next guy?
Who else I got on the list here? I got Dave Cowens, kind of a forgotten guy from the 70s a bit. Does have two titles. You know, he was the center. He was the big man. For that decade. And the 70s was a weird decade for the, I mean, if the Celtics dominated the 60s and the Celtics Lakers dominated the 80s, the 70s was kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, Boston might be the only team that LA might have two in there.
Okay. Uh-oh. We freeze again?
No, we're here.
I think Sim might have froze up there. All right. Well, Since he's frozen up, Dave, give me somebody else on your list that you got.
I got, I'm a name between three guys, but I'm going to go with longevity. I'm going to go with Dennis Johnson.
Dennis Johnson, okay.
And the reason why I'm going with Dennis Johnson, on every great team, you got to have a quarterback.
Yep.
And, you know, he was the quarterback of those teams in the 80s. And he was just a leader. He got the ball where it needed to be. He had a lot of mouths to feed between, you know, Ainge, Parrish, Mikhail, Bird. He just did a good job of getting everybody involved and also, I mean, creating his own shot. I mean, averaged 12.6 points a game for his career. I mean, and seven dimes. So, I mean, he was one of those guys that just loved to hate, but he got the job done. He was a good defender for that team as well.
Okay. All right. Very good. Dave, I don't know if Sim's coming back. We got about 2 minutes to go. So oh, wow. we got two spots left. So give me one more guy that you think should be on this list.
Kevin Garnett.
Garnett. Okay. Yeah, Garnett, what, big ticket?
Big ticket, yep.
Like, I mean, he finally got Boston kind of over the hump with, mm-hmm. you know, with that group there. Agreed. I love that guy's intensity.
Oh, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change that.
Okay.
You can't have a Leaf without a team without the Chief.
You got Robert Parrish?
Robert Parrish, 16.5. 10 rebounds a game, went head-to-head numerous times with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and held his own. I take the Chief over Garnett.
Okay.
14 seasons in Boston, I think his longevity supersedes Garnett's 16.
Okay. All right. Sim, you're back.
I'm back.
All right. Hey, we got 1 minute.
Okay.
So hey, let me tell you who's on our bench and tell me who you would replace or add. So we got Sam Jones, Kevin McHale, Paul Pierce, Dave Cowens. I think that's where you left off. Then we since added Dennis Johnson, Kevin Garnett, and Robert Parrish. Would you take any of those guys off or add somebody else?
No, I always liked Parrish. Parrish is the only jersey I actually own.
Okay.
I always loved Parrish, especially when he took down Bill Laimbeer. That was a great moment.
Yes.
You know, Garnett was great. The only other one I had that wasn't mentioned there was Tommy Heinsohn. Okay. I think he gets overlooked sometimes, but you know, yeah, I mean, like I said, you could, when you start getting down to, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, gosh, you're leaving Hall of Famers off the list.
Yes.
That's Nate Archibald, Sidney Maxwell, Rajon Rondo,
Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Ray Allen.
I mean, right. Let me ask you this final question. How many years does Jason Tatum have to do what he's doing to get on this list?
Make it to 5 years.
Another 5 years?
No, yeah. Make it to 5 years.
I mean, I think he's close. I mean, I think he's probably the next guy that we would put on the list.
Okay.
He's there. I mean, certainly if he wins this one, then he's definitely he's closing the gap there.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's so young yet. He's only 24.
Right.
He'll be there.
I don't see any reason that he's not the guy for the next 5-6 years easily.
Okay. And somebody that didn't make the cut because of he didn't win a ring. Rest in peace, Reggie Lewis.
Absolutely.
17.6. That guy would have been in the top five easily.
Always felt bad for Reggie. Just never had enough around him.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen. This has been fun. All right, we are going to do our Golden State Warriors all-time roster. Now, if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, you know probably a lot of these members that will be on the all-time roster that are current players and that the Cavs had to face in 15 through 18. So Greg Kirchner is joining me with this. Dave Spires and Eric Simeon, thanks to them for joining me on the Boston Celtics one. Golden State has a ton of great all-time players. Not quite as many as the Boston Celtics, but really, who does? But Greg, I guess just give me your initial impressions of this current Warriors team and, you know, kind of the mini dynasty they've really had since like Kerr kind of came in.
Yeah, it's been quite a run they've had, and you know, it's like we've talked about this a lot. Like I've hated them for so long because they were, you know, they were the biggest hurdle. They were the hurdle for the Cavs. You know, potentially could have had more championships if it wasn't for Golden State. But now that we're sort of, you know, Cavs kind of in rebuild mode, I've come to enjoy this team a lot more than I used to, and mm-hmm. really, especially, you know, appreciate the greatness of Steph Curry, and, you know, what he's done for the game of basketball, and, you know, and how he's changed the game of basketball. And boy, you know, for them to win, if they can finish off the title this year and win this title, I mean, this would go, an extremely long way and cementing Steph's legacy. I mean, it was already cemented, but now you're talking about putting him kind of in the pantheon of, you know, call it maybe even the top 10 all-time greats, you know, getting into that rarefied air of getting another championship and kind of doing it where he is the star of the team. I mean, you know, there is no real big three anymore or big four anymore. So the supporting cast they have is very deep, and yeah, this would be unbelievable for Steph's legacy if they can finish this off, and they could also go on a little run here over these next few years.
Yeah, no, they're still, for the most part, you know, not a young team, but they have a lot of young pieces on their team. And this is, I think you hit all the, you know, the major points. Like if you're a Cavs fan, this is a team you disliked for many, many reasons and many, many years, but you know, they definitely have earned the respect of the NBA, the way they do things, the way they change, the way they've kind of changed their philosophy, changed the game. Positionless basketball, you know, like constant moving, whatnot. And obviously Steve Kerr has some good players to work with, but he's also come in and done a great job. So, you know, great job there. So let's, Greg, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go through the all-time Warriors team. And, you know, this is from their inception. But the caveat we did with the Celtics was they had to be on the team for at least five seasons or win one title. For Golden State, it's not quite, and you know, it previously was the San Francisco Warriors, which is where they're located now. But for Golden State, we're going to make that three seasons or one championship. So, you know, we'll go through the minutia of that in a little bit, but let's come up with the starting five here. And so if you're putting, you can pick anyone you want at any position. So who would you put first in the Golden State starting five?
Well, I think we just talked about him. So I'm gonna put Steph Curry at the point guard position. And I think there really is no explanation needed. You know, he's arguably the greatest player they've had in their franchise history, although we are going to talk about somebody else that was pretty darn good too, but didn't win any championships. The championships, I think, is what sets Steph apart.
No doubt. All right, yeah, so Steph Curry, I think he's 10, around the 10-year mark right now in his career, 2011, I want to say, he came in the league. But, you know,
2009, believe it or not.
Oh, 2009. Wow. So yeah, he has been around. I guess he is 34 years old. So he's been around for longer than you think. But already the league's all-time, you know, leading three-point scorer, you know, passing Ray Allen. So Steph Curry is going to be the point guard. All right, I'm going to go at the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and I'm going to go with the big man, and I'm going to go Will Chamberlain, because he was a huge part of that franchise for a while, playing the center position. Just some numbers that are absolutely ridiculous and mind-blowing that really can't even be topped. You know, obviously played for some different franchises as well, but Will Chamberlain is going to be the center that I'm going to go with. You agree, disagree? I mean, it's kind of hard to go against Will Chamberlain.
Well, let's see. His career stats at the Warriors were he averaged 41.5 points and 25.1 rebounds. So I think I'm probably going to have to agree with your pick there.
Pretty decent. Pretty decent. So, oh, man. Yeah. So, I mean, when you got Steph Curry at the point guard and Will Chamberlain at the center spot, I think you're doing okay. I saw a stat, and I don't know if this was on when he was with the Warriors or not, but one season he actually averaged 48.5 minutes a game. So he never came off the court, and then played obviously a little bit in overtime in a couple games. So that's one of those like unbreakable records that you will never see broken. So, all right. So Curry at the point and Chamberlain at center. And I'll tell you what, for the shooting guard, small forward, power forward, we'll just say one more guard and two more forwards. So that's how we'll do it. So I'll hand it back off to you.
Yeah, so I'll go to kind of one more old timer at the forward position and go with Rick Barry. So he played, you know, he played 8 years of his 14 in the NBA Warriors. Yeah, and no, definitely the underhanded but highly effective free throw shot there. I mean, you can't really beat what he did in his 8 years in Golden, well, playing for, I guess, would he have been Philadelphia? He was Golden State for a lot of that, I guess. But nonetheless, 8 years of the Warriors franchise, made an all-star in every single one of those seasons, and was first team All-NBA in 5 out of those 8 seasons. So clearly one of the all-time great NBA players altogether, and certainly one of the all-time great Warriors.
And his all-time, so he played a little over 1,000 games in the NBA, and you know, kind of make fun of the granny shot a little bit, but 89.3% free throw shooter in his career. So, you know, nothing to laugh at.
Honestly, don't know why some of these guys that shoot 40% at the foul line don't adopt that. Besides the fact that they may probably just think they'd get made fun of for doing it, but right. I mean. There's a reason why they shot that way. It's kind of easy muscle memory. And even if you go out in the backyard, like right now, and shoot about 20 of them, like you kind of get a rhythm. But I think it's just probably the optics of doing it wouldn't be good. Yeah. But Shaq, at some point in his career, they try everything else.
Yeah, there was a kid at the University of Florida that did it a couple years ago. And, you know, that was kind of a big deal. I want to say it might have even been last year, the COVID year. But I remember, you know, he kind of like took that free throw style on. I can't remember his name, but he shot a high percentage shooting that way. So why not? Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty solid picks there. Curry, Barry, and Chamberlain. All right, I'll take the next guy. And the next guy didn't play very long for Golden State, but I think we all know him very, very well, especially if you're a Cleveland fan. He did, unfortunately, win a title over the Cavs back-to-back seasons in 2017 and 2018. Kind of took the, you know, a great Golden State team to an elite, untouchable, maybe the best team in the NBA. And that's Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant probably at the end of his career won't be thought of as, you know, a Golden State Warrior. He might be considered OKC, might be considered Brooklyn Net, whatever it might be. He's kind of, you know, moved around a little bit, but he did win 2 titles with Golden State And he was the piece that came in after the Cavs knocked off Golden State and just took them up to literally an untouchable level that, you know, no team could touch until the injury bug hit them against the Raptors in the finals in 2019. So I'm going to go with Durant at the other forward position. You know, again, only played there, what, three seasons? But three pretty good seasons. Got to the finals every year, their leading scorer, and probably, you know, you could argue him or Curry, which one was the best. But, you know, if you're arguing Steph Curry or Kevin Durant, that's a good argument.
Yeah, I would probably argue he was the best player on the team in those 3 years. So, yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll round it out. We don't have to look too far back for this one either. Actually, we look to the current roster. So for the other guard, I'll go with the other Splash Brother. I mean, Klay Thompson, I think we've maybe forgotten a little bit the last few years. He's been bitten, unfortunately, really badly by the injury bug. And if you watch him play now, he still has flashes, but he's not, you know, he's still honestly a shell of what he used to be. But his contribution to those championship teams and is immeasurable, really, and just again, him and Curry revolutionized the way the game of basketball is played. So we'll round out our starting five with Klay.
Yeah, and I mean, this year he's back 21 basically 21-4-3 a game, but that's coming off of basically not playing for what, three seasons. I can't argue with that pick. And
I guess I should apologize for saying he's a shell of himself, because I swear he still looks like it. But if he's putting up, I didn't realize he was quite putting up those numbers, but he still doesn't look like what he used to look like. And that's a testament to his talent. So I guess maybe I will say a shell, but he's still not what, you know, you could still tell that he's not fully back, and to put up those numbers is extraordinary.
No doubt. And you know, when you have the best shooter in NBA history on your team, you're going to get overlooked. But he is arguably a top 7-8 shooter of all time in the NBA. And you know, there's been some incredible stats. I don't have them off my hand, but where he scored over 50 points in a game, you know, taking something like 3 or 4 dribbles, which, you know, is just amazing. So, so to round out our starting five, we have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson at the guards. We got Rick Barry and Durant at the small and power forward, or however you want to do it. And then our center is Will Chamberlain. So pretty formidable roster there for the Golden State Warriors. So Greg, we got 7 reserve spots left. And let me just preface this with one of my first choices would be Chris Webber if he qualified for this, but you know, he won Rookie of the Year back in, I think, 93-94, played for them another season in 2018. We were talking about it before, but that was kind of like to round out his career. But he doesn't qualify for our list because he didn't even play 3 seasons with them. He had kind of like a fallout with Don Nelson, who was the coach at the time. But it's crazy to think Chris Webber, I think that was maybe – I might have had like a Mark Price jersey, but Chris Webber is, you know, I know he went to Michigan and stuff, but I loved him as a basketball player. And I think that might have been one of the first jerseys I ever owned was a Chris Webber Golden State Warriors jersey. Crazy to think. So I don't know. So Greg, what do you think about, you know, who maybe we can add to this list?
Yeah, do we still want to go one at a time or pick a couple, or how do you want to do this?
I'll just – you just name a guy and we'll go with it.
Okay, so I'll go back to a guy that was kind of in our generation when we were growing up. I'll go with Chris Mullin.
Yeah.
He was sort of a fixture with the Warriors. He played with them for over 10 years. So it was 12 years, actually. And was one of the best players on that team, and he averaged over 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists for his career. So solid player for a lot of really, you know, good teams. I would say they never were championship caliber teams, but he was a, a great player growing up. And I think he was on the original Dream. Was he on the original Dream Team or was he?
Once.
Yeah. So, I mean, that just speaks to how talented he was as a basketball.
Yeah, no, that's a great pick. I'm going to pick my next pick's kind of a funny one. I think over my shoulder, you can see the Cavs jersey. This guy actually has his number retired by the Cleveland Cavaliers. But Nate Thurmond was a Golden State Warrior or San Francisco. I'm not sure the era, but Nate Thurmond played, great basketball, was a fantastic player. I'm going to look up his stats real quick, but, a Hall of Famer, was with the Cavs for a while, but played many, many years. He played from 1963 to 1974 with the Golden State Warriors. And over his career, he averaged, let me see here. He averaged, 17 and a half points, over 2.5 block, almost 3 blocks a game, almost 3, almost a steal a game, and then 17 rebounds a game. So I'm going to say he makes the cut for this list, coming in at that probably power forward, smaller center role for Nate Thurmond.
Yeah, that's a good one. He had one season where he averaged over 20 points and 20 rebounds, which is just almost unfathomable.
Insane.
I guess with my next pick, I will reluctantly go with Draymond Green here. I mean, I say reluctantly, I say that tongue-in-cheek. He absolutely deserves to be on this list. He's been a huge part of this team for a long time, and he's a stat sheet stuffer. He's a nuisance. Say what you want about him, but he is a guy that you know, any NBA team would love to have on their roster, and winning plays and has put them in a position to win these titles. So he's been a fixture, a lifelong Warrior. So Draymond.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of what you would call, like the glue guy. He does all the, dirty work. He's a guy you don't want to play against, but you want him on your team. And I'm going to say respect him over the years. I still don't really like him all that much, but he's a really, really, really good basketball player that kind of took them from, a good team to an ascending team with, that core of Curry and Klay Thompson. And obviously we all know the story of him calling Durant to join their squad. So I think that's a solid pick there. So Draymond Green makes the cut as one of the 6 men in the, off the Warriors bench here of all time. So my next pick, I'm going to go, I have a few guys that I've, been looking at here. But this is a guy that played, back before our time. But, he averaged 23 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 assists per game. Is a Hall of Famer, was a great Golden State Warrior. Didn't technically win the MVP we're talking all the way back to 1952. But his name is Paul Arizin, and I'm going to go with him, to kind of throw back to the old school to give him the cut. And that's again, somebody before our time, but somebody that well deserves to be on an all-time team for Golden State. So,
So my next pick, I'm going to go, back a little ways, but still kind of in our lifetime, and go with Tim Hardaway.
Yep.
He was, he played, looks like he had about 8 years with Golden State. He had a kind of a stretch run of 3 All-Star seasons before he got injured. which sort of derailed his career, where he had averaged about 23 points and 10 assists over a 3-year span. If you remember him from the killer crossover and those teams that they called Run TMC with him, and Mitch Richmond, who may or may not make the cut for us, but Tim Hardaway is my next bench player.
Okay. Yeah, that's a solid pick there. I had him in my top 12. So I think I had him, number 12 there. So he definitely would have made my cut. A few other, I'm just going to pull the trigger here and do it with Mitch Richmond too. You mentioned his name. I had him ranked at number 11. So I'm just going to go with Mitch Richmond. He averaged a little bit more than 22, 23 points a game in his three seasons with Golden State. And again, you mentioned that Run TMC combination with Hardaway and Mullen, but unfortunately he was traded to Sacramento and was, a formidable force on that team, going forward. But Mitch Richmond was arguably one of the best Warriors of all time, and he's going to make our cut for this list. So Greg, we got one more spot open. So we've listed 11 guys here. So I guess we can kind of, amongst you and I decide who we want to add as our 12th man here.
So I have two guys left on the list that I jotted down, and it's Baron Davis and Latrell Sprewell. So having others put them out there, or if you have a preference between the guys I put out there, go ahead and be the tiebreaker here. Cause Baron Davis had a fun run with the Warriors. He also went to a lot of different clubs, but they had that one playoff run where they knocked out Dallas when Dallas was the best team in the NBA in the first round and Dirk was MVP, and they took him out in the first round, and Baron Davis had some crazy games and moments in those games. So he's a great Warrior. Latrell Sprewell, I guess, might be more of a no-brainer on this list if he didn't choke out his coach. So I don't know what to do with him.
I was going to say, better put him on the list or he's coming for you.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyone else or any thoughts?
Well, I had a couple more listed, but Baron Davis, I'm gonna defer to guys that I've actually seen play, so I'm just gonna name off some of the other guys I had: Neil Johnston, Tom Gola, Purvis Short, which I some of these guys I don't know much about. The one guy I do remember hearing about a little bit, I couldn't have told you what how he played the game or whatever, was Eric Sleepy Floyd. He was like a mid 80s type guy, played in, like the late, or the Jordan era when he was coming up. Alvin Attles is a guy that Golden State Warrior fans hold in high regard, but I don't think he's going to make our list. Paul Smith and Jamal Wilkes were two other guys, but I had Latrell Sprewell ahead of Baron Davis on my list. Latrell Sprewell, you could argue, was the best shooting guard in the NBA for one or two seasons there, outside of Michael Jordan, that you could put him, as a first, if not first, but a second team all NBA player, back in the height of his playing career. So I think we're going to go with Latrell Sprewell. That way he's not showing up at either one of our houses and choking us out. But real quick to review: Curry, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Rick Barry, Kevin Durant, Will Chamberlain as a starting five. Then coming off the bench, we got Chris Mullin, Nate Thurman, Draymond Green, Paul Arizin, Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, and Latrell Sprewell. Pretty solid list. And so, Greg, let's just wrap this up with real quick. Golden State is a decent favorite in this final. So how do you see this all playing out? What's your pick and what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great series. I really do. I think Boston, again, two teams I don't like, but I think Boston is a tough matchup for Golden State. Jason Tatum is going to have to be great. He's going to have to be the best player in this series. But I do like Boston's depth. I do like their ability to defend. That all being said, I think the Warriors win the series in 7 games. That's going to be my prediction.
Okay. Yeah, before the playoffs started, I had Phoenix beating Boston in 7 games. I'm going to stick with the Western Conference, and I'm going to say Golden State wins in 6 over Boston. I just think they have the better team, even though Boston has maybe the up-and-coming best player. So yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. All right, real quick, last question. So you have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Rick Barry, Durant, and Wilt Chamberlain going up against Bob Cousy, JoJo White, John Havlicek, Larry Bird, and Bill Russell. Who wins that 5-on-5 game?
You know, I was thinking about this when we put this together. This Warriors 5 is just the inside-outside ability, and Durant sort of being that, like, I'm not sure who guards Durant for the Celtics. I actually like the Warriors 5 over Boston's 5, which is kind of surprising to think about, but I do.
Yeah, no, I think JoJo White's a nice player, but I would take Curry or Thompson over him, you know, and have him coming off the bench. But, I think I have to agree, which is kind of crazy. Boston's the much deeper all-time roster. But Golden State might have the better starting five, and, you know, maybe playing a little recency bias on that. But either way, it should be an exciting finals. We'll see how it all plays out. And Greg, thanks for doing this. And Greg has them what, in 7 games, you said, Golden State?
In 7, yep.
And I'm going with Golden State in 6. So that probably means take Boston for the sweep. All right, Greg, thanks, man. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.